In the sports talk radio justice world, mediocre quarterback play and porous tackling are considered especially heinous. On the Lance J Show, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad at Paragon 7 Studios. These are their stories.
So I'm reading this from ESPN.com. UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka left the undefeated Rebels last week over claims of unfulfilled verbal NIL promises from a UNLV assistant coach, a decision that illuminates the fragility of the current collegiate system and how talent is procured and retained. Sluka's agent, Marcus Cromartie, I wonder if he's related to Antonio Cromartie, told ESPN that UNLV didn't come through on a verbal offer of $100,000 from an assistant coach. The quarterback's father, Bob Sluka, told ESPN that the head coach, Barry Odom, later said in a phone conversation the offer wasn't valid because it didn't come from him, but rather from the offensive coordinator, Brennan Marion, who declined to comment to ESPN. UNLV said in a statement that Sluka's representative made a financial demand upon the university and its NIL collective in order to continue playing. UNLV athletics interpret these demands as a violation of the NCAA pay for play rules, as well as Nevada state law. The school said in a statement, UNLV does not engage in such activity. Right. If you remember the Larry Johnson, Stacey Augment, nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV has honored all previously agreed upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka. I basically go further to the article. He was promised $100,000. It wasn't in writing. And he got the first $3,000 of the installment. And I guess it was time to get the rest of his money. And it's just like, nah. UNLV got off to a very, very good start. Even without Sluka, who quit the team, UNLV went out last week and thrashed somebody. They're a team. It's a top 25 team. Many people who analyze college football, such as myself, believe that UNLV has a very good opportunity to represent the group of five, meaning the non-power conferences, that they could be the representative who gets an automatic bid to the playoff as the 12th seed. That remains to be seen, but there's an uproar over the situation, both because of the money that's promised to this young man, the fact that it really wasn't in writing. And when you get into the NIL, I'm a big NIL fan. I'm a big fan of free market capitalism. I'm a fan of these kids getting paid because the school's getting paid. The coaches are getting paid. The assistant coaches are getting paid. The hot dog vendors are getting paid. Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler are getting paid. Lee Corso's getting paid. Everybody's getting paid. Hell, I'm getting paid to talk about it. So everybody's getting paid off of college football. And I'm a big fan of the kids getting paid. I don't know if it was supposed to be this. I think NIL was generally supposed to be the concept that, hey, if you're a student athlete and you want to start a podcast or you want to go work at a car dealership and sign some footballs or sign a jersey or something like that, that people can pay you. And you can get paid off your likeness. If you want to have a YouTube channel, something like that. I don't know if NIL was set for there to be these, quote, collectives that actually just say, hey, you want to come to Ohio State? Here's 500 grand. Now, I'm an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, so I benefit from that. And I'm fine with Ohio State if they pay Caleb Downs. At the rumor, word on the street, is that their payroll is 20 M's. Last time I checked, Ohio State was undefeated and only giving up 6 points a game. So the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. That's free market capitalism. That's what America's built on. I don't have an issue with it. But there's a lot of uproar because this is different. A player basically saying that you owe me money. If you don't give me the money that you owe me, I'm not going to play. And actually, I support that too. Because none of you listening to this show, if you work like me, if you're a healthcare executive, you work in healthcare administration, and you get a memo that comes out and says that XXX company, and we're sending a memo out to let you know that due to financial constraints, we're not going to be paying you for the next 6 weeks. I guarantee you'd be looking for another job. Like if you're a doctor, Some of these people, you're in the middle of surgery. You could be running you could be an anesthesiologist. If you're not getting paid, you ain't going to be running that machine unless you have a really big heart. If you're a lawyer, your rate is $400 an hour. Like my attorney, Frederick Allen Bozeman, that handles my legal affairs. If he's not getting the check, then he's not working. They don't work for free. Teachers don't teach for free. Teachers have strikes all the time. You have a strike going on right now at the Port Authority that could impact the ability to ship goods and could impact. You could have empty grocery shelves, the doom and gloomers say. So people, when they don't get paid, they generally don't work. So I wouldn't expect an athlete, professional or semi-professional, because that's what college football is, a semi-pro. I wouldn't expect somebody to show up for work if they're not getting paid. But I think where it gets a little dicey, and you're going to need an ombudsman at some point to manage this. You're going to need a commissioner. I saw Adrian Wojnarowski, Wojbomb. You know, he left ESPN to be the general manager of St. Bonaventure. And you have all of these general manager positions that are coming up in intercollegiate athletics. And it's run, it's gonna be just like Rob Pelinka. For the Lakers, you're going to have these high-level executives that make decisions on how they structure the football program, how they structure the basketball program, and what the payroll is and who they're paying and who they're recruiting and what boosters are making the payments and all of that stuff. Basically, SMU with the Trans Am for Eric Dickerson, but legal. I think where the issue comes into place, you have to have a signed contract. I am not a supporter of NIL in any of these programs where nothing's signed, where there's nothing that's confirmed. It's just he said, she said, you're meeting in a dark alley somewhere. Somebody hands you $10,000 in cash. I think the IRS, as someone who's an entrepreneur, when you start getting all of this money under the table and we're not sure, is it 100 grand? Is it 3 grand? The IRS is gonna take a bite out of crime. They're not. The IRS, they're going to get their cut. I guarantee you. Death and taxes. You're going to pay taxes on that money. So I think what's going to blow this up is 3-4 years in, somebody's going to get a couple of M's under the table in NIL, and the IRS is going to absolutely fillet them. And if they don't go to the NFL and can't make up that money, either you're going to be a rookie in the NFL or a second year in the NFL, and the IRS is going to be garnishing that arse, or you're going to go to jail. I don't know if you'll go to jail if you owe like 10 grand, but you owe the IRS $1 million, you are going to jail. You're going to be suiting up for Oz with Rick Fox and the guy in the wheelchair with the dreads. I can't remember his name. It was on The Best Man. You're going to be in Oz with Adam Beasy. And that's not the situation that you want. All of these deals need to be negotiated, but they need to be above board, just like any other corporation. So I'm for the player getting paid. I'm for free market capitalism. I literally spit in the face of people that don't want to see these young individuals, mostly of African American descent, get their money up front and question if they've, quote, earned the right to be multimillionaires, although they have a skill, which is an elite skill, that only the top 0.00001% of athletes have. But it's got to be legitimate. You can't go work for a law firm. You can't work for a law firm and get your salary under the table. Like you don't go to one of the big law firms in New York City and you're staying in some penthouse in Midtown Manhattan and you're at this great law firm and you have a corner office, you can see the whole city from your office. You don't go there and get money under the table. You have a contract. You don't go to a university to be a professor without a contract. You don't even, if you're an entrepreneur and you don't want to go to jail, you have contracts. Everything that you do is above board. And we have to treat it like a 1099 or, you know, W-2 employee or some type of contract. I'm not going to support handing a kid a bag full of money under the table under the guise of NIL. And when you have contracts and they're standardized, then yeah, if someone's not following their contract, then the kid shouldn't play. But without contracts, you set yourself up for two things. You could have somebody that the player is honoring their contract and they're showing up and they're playing and they're performing and the team's winning. And the person who promised them money could just say, well, we're not going to give it to you. What are you going to do about it? And then you could have a situation where a kid outperforms his contract. Maybe he's getting $100,000 and maybe the school has given him what he asked for. But this guy comes out and he looks like Travis Hunter. He's putting up Heisman stats and he goes back to the school and says, I want another couple of $100,000 or I'm not playing. And that's a situation where I draw the line. That's not free market capitalism. That's not teamwork. That's not good business. These are seedy underworld, bad business practices. And I'm a supporter of people getting their money, but it's important for me that there is some level of legality in binding agreements, because that's what business is. It's you sign on the dotted line. It's above board. The IRS knows what's going on. You go out and perform. Next year, you ask for more money. If you don't perform, you're probably going to get less money. And that's what all the rest of us in the United States have to deal with. Lanche Radio Network.
Live from the Paragon 7 studios, you are listening to the Lanche J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 studios.
Did you hear that the court just made a ruling that they're going to have to make the Lone Ranger take his mask off? If they ever see you, they're going to make a ruling where you have to wear a mask. You realize that?
You're in rare form today. I hear it.
That's right, baby. Okay. When I beat the world heavyweight champion, I am in rare form, and I guess you saw it right there, didn't you?
Well, I saw what could be interpreted, I'm certainly, by you as a win over the champion. He still
could
has
be interpreted. It was a 1-2-3. That's right. It took me a couple of minutes longer than I anticipated, but what can you expect? I was fighting two world champions that night.
You are listening to the Lanche J Radio Network.
Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay these same contracts,
allow them to take everything we own.
Creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter a hospital.
Putting our health in our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses.
And we need our doctors.
But hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare.
Power to the patients.
People tell me how lucky my daughter is to have been adopted. But really, we're the lucky ones. Learn more at AdoptUSKids.org.